Before we turn to Joshua chapter 14 tonight, would you look at Numbers chapter 13 with me, please? Numbers chapter 13. When I was young, there was a boy in my neighborhood that I grew up with. He was 2 or 3 years older than me, and hanging out with him often got me in trouble. And my mother said to me, and now I know that it's an old saying, I thought it was original with her at the time. My mother had all the sayings, as maybe your mother did too, but she said, "If you can't run with the big dogs, you better stay on the porch." Meaning best not to attempt doing what others are doing if you don't want to face the consequences. And she was right. She was right. In our study of Joshua tonight, we are reintroduced again to a man named Caleb. His name means dog, faithful dog. But dog nonetheless. We've talked about Caleb many times, and Caleb was a big dog who got off the porch. But he didn't cause trouble or worry or anxiety for others. He tried to prevent it. And I suppose most everyone's familiar with the story found here in Numbers chapter 13. Moses sent 12 men from each tribe to spy out the land of promise, the land of Canaan. And according to verse 25, those 12 spies returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And in verse 26, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, 'We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, as this is the fruit of it.'" We're told in another place that it took two men with a big pole to carry the grapes that they brought. Just an amazing exhibit of fruit and profit in the land. And then they said, "Nevertheless," you know, that's a wonderful word, but sometimes it's not so wonderful depending on how it's used. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, giants. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Faithful dog. Now, it seems that something happens here between verses 29 and 30, though we're not directly told about it. It's somewhat obvious that the people of Israel were stirred. They became upset and unsettled, for why else would Caleb have need to have steeled, hushed, silenced, and calmed the people? Many of the old commentators believe that unbelieving Israel were coming after Moses with more murmur and mutiny. Many of these commentators believe that they would have tore Moses apart had Caleb not intervened and steeled and calmed them. How did Caleb steel the people? He spoke out of the abundance of his heart. And what a picture this is here of preaching the gospel. We in faith, believing, tell people the truth about God and His Christ. That's the only thing that can calm the soul of a child of God. He said with great faith and confidence, "Let us go up at once and possess the land. God gave it to us." That's preaching the gospel, isn't it? Everything comes from God's hand. God gave it to us, and we are well able in Him to overcome. That's what He's saying. Mm-hmm. Overcome what? Overcome who? Well, verse 31 tells us, but the men that went up with Him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. Now look at chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. Now, what a picture that is of us by nature. We're all about making and doing something ourselves, aren't we? Let us make a captain. Let us return. We're all about returning to our sin, like a pig to the mire and a dog to its vomit. Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they, Joshua and Caleb, spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. We'll eat them up like a sandwich. Their defense is departed from them. They have no defense, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Boy, that's the gospel. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. We can't help but to read these verses and think to ourselves, unbelief, what such a wicked thing unbelief really is. When we see who God is, who this book proclaims God to be, and we ought to believe, we ought to bow down and say, Lord, there's no God other than Thee. There's none like Thee. Glorious in holiness. Faith is such a wonderful thing. Man is responsible for the unbelief, and God is responsible for one's faith. We know that faith is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not according to our works. And that's why faith is so wonderful. It's given to those who don't deserve it at all. Two men. Not just out of 10 or out of 12, two out of 12, but out of the millions that left Egypt by God's mighty deliverance of them, only two believed God. Only two. Well, I suppose Abraham and or Moses and Aaron also. Joshua and Caleb. Joshua whose name means Savior. He's a type of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Caleb, whose name means dog, a type and picture of the believer. Now, these things aren't new. We've talked about these things several times, but I never grow tired of hearing about them. It's just such a wonderful picture of the gospel.
Yes,
sir. And Joshua 14, look there with me now, if you would. In verse 6, we pick up our story here 40 plus years later, probably 45 years later. And in verse 6, Joshua 14, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Well, Joshua knew this. He was right there with him. He said, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet hath trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. That's what the Lord said through Moses, would be better said. Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Faithful dog. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb stands as an example of faithfulness. The report of the 10 spies caused Israel's heart to melt. They cried all the night. But Caleb stood strong, and he stood valiant, and he stood determined. Like Abraham, Caleb staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. That's what faith is.
Amen.
Fully persuaded. Of what? That what he, God, promised, he was able to perform. Romans 4:21. Now Caleb here comes to Joshua to possess what God through Moses had promised him. And God through Moses promised in Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 35, I won't turn you there, but this is what he promised. Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save or except Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, Moses said, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. And Moses didn't. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And that's what we've seen in the previous chapters of this beautiful book of Joshua. Now, how beautiful is it that Caleb comes with others of the tribe of Judah? This is his family. You see, the promise to the eldest is the same as the promise to the youngest. Salvation by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ is the same inheritance for both young and old. The same inheritance for all who are bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise of God wasn't to Caleb only, but also to his seed with him. And these men, these others of the tribe of Judah, they didn't come with Caleb as moral support. They came also for their inheritance. They too were the children of promise. The land that had been promised to Caleb was the land of the Anakims, the land of the giants. And look at what Caleb declared in verse 11. He said, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in." Now, somebody may view these words as to be arrogant and proud, but not so when based upon the promise of God. Tim James wrote in his commentary on this chapter that assurance in Christ is wrong only if it's wrong to believe God. Our assurance is not in ourselves. Our assurance is in what God has done. Assurance is presumptuous and false if it does not rest wholly upon the promise of God. No truer words have been spoken. Caleb's did. It was the Lord Jehovah who testified of the faithfulness of Caleb in Numbers chapter 14, when he said, "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Caleb's spirit is considered another spirit in contrast to the spirit of the other 10 spies. They went out to see if they could themselves possess the land. And when they got there and they saw the fenced cities and they saw the giants and they saw the mighty warriors of all the Hittites, they said, "Well, we don't stand a chance. We're as grasshoppers compared to them." But when Caleb went to examine what God had already given them, oh, it was a big, big difference. Big difference. The 10 spies went looking within and returned in fear and failure. But Caleb, oh, he went in the spirit of faith, and he returned with great confidence and assurance. Not in himself, but in his God, who had promised and had already given them the land. The Lord had told them time and time again, "I've delivered all the enemies for you. I'm going to take care of it." Caleb believed God. God is faithful that promised. Do we really believe that? Oh, if so, why do we worry and fret so much? Lord, help me not to worry and fret so much. The 10 spies viewed the land as belonging to the Canaanites. Caleb viewed the land as belonging to him. That's right. He didn't look to some power within. He looked outwardly to the Almighty God who had already given to them the land. Caleb followed the Lord fully. Do we? May the Lord help us to. How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We love not our lives unto the death. Caleb said, "Let's go. Let's thrust them out. It's ours. Let's take it." And he didn't worry about death. He knew death would be a promotion. And we, like Caleb, do not have the same spirit as the world, friend. We have faith, we have confidence, and we have total assurance that what the Lord of hosts has sworn and thought shall come to pass. And what the Lord has purposed, it shall stand. Isaiah 14:24. And in a day when many have not because they ask not, that's what James said. And when they do ask, they ask amiss to consume what they're asking for upon their lust. It's never presumptuous to approach the Lord on the basis of His covenant promise. It's not only not wrong, it's reasonable and sure. Lord, You promised. Therefore. That's exactly what we have pictured in this account. It's a beautiful picture of the child of God seeking the Lord's face and looking for Him alone to fulfill His promise to Him. Lord, You said. You said that You sent Christ into the world. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Lord, I'm a sinner. I qualify for this salvation. I'm a sinner. A child of God knows they're not worthy. They don't make demands on God. They do not trust in their ability to perform anything or do anything. They simply confess what the Lord has done and finished for them. And Caleb only said what God Himself had said about him. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Oh, may that be said of this dog. In verse 7, Caleb said concerning his return with the spies, and I brought word again. Now look at this. As it was in my heart. To wholly follow the Lord, it's a heart matter. The heart of Caleb was a heart of faith. He saw the same things the other spies saw. But Caleb saw them differently, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He saw them with the eyes of faith. Caleb professed the word of God. In his heart, he knew that the Lord had given them the land, and that's what he confessed. He said, the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Oh, the next time something causes us fear, may these words come to our remembrance. The Lord is with us. Fear not them. Child of God, trials and tribulations are coming. Trouble and affliction are promised. With much tribulation, we enter God's kingdom. But this too is promised. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. Fear them not. Fear what not? The trials and the tribulations. Beloved, death is coming for each of us. It's coming. Oh, it's sure. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. But the Lord is with us. Fear neither death nor judgment. Because the Lord is with us, fear them not. Now nearly 85 years old, Caleb remembers God's promise to him 45 years before. He's not boasting. He's not being arrogant. He's simply saying 45 years have passed and the Lord has preserved me. I'm as strong now as I was then. And his strength wasn't from working out. It was by what God had worked in. For him not to be strong enough to take the land and the enemies that possessed it would mean that God's promise was a lie. And that's never so because God cannot lie. Caleb's confession is, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And you know what? That's what all of us can say. Until we take our last breath, it's the Lord that's kept us alive. He's given us every breath. Every heartbeat comes from Him. It was the Lord that preserved His strength. It's the same with us. We don't trust in our own strength. We trust in the strength of God's promise to us. We persevere only because God preserves us. This 85-year-old man rested in God's promises. And when we see that, you know, the giants that we face in this life, they're nothing. Nothing compared to God. There are a lot of giants, aren't there? But we don't fear them because the Lord is with us. Caleb had waited 45 years for the fulfillment of God's promise to him. And this is amazing in and of itself. Brother Montgomery used to say, we live in a microwave society. We want it fast and we want it now. But they that wait upon the Lord. Listen, that word wait, you know what it means in the Hebrew? Look. Those that look upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Strength. I'm as strong now as 45 years ago because the Lord has preserved me. Those who look upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. When we wait, when we look upon the Lord like children upon their parents to provide their every need. That's how we look to the Lord. You provide everything for me, Lord. Well, I work, brother. He gave you the health to work. He gave you the sense and the mental capacity to work and to hold a job. Everything. He's the first cause of everything. Everything comes from Him. We look to our parents for when we were young for everything. We look to do them honor. We look to obey their commands, their wishes. We look to receive all our provisions from them. Like servants look to their masters. We look to the Lord to know His pleasure. We look to the Lord to do His work. We look to the Lord for His instruction. And in looking, our strength is renewed. We shall run and not be weary. We hasten to God's commandments. We run with delight and pleasure without weariness. We run with patience the race that is set before us. How do you run with patience? You wait on the Lord. You look to the Lord. You trust in the Lord. You know the Lord's going to do all things well. We shall walk and not faint. We trust in Christ alone. We don't sink under the burden of sin. We're not weary in well-doing. We walk steadily to the mark of the high calling, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that because He has promised that everything is going to be all right. What a lesson this is for me. Caleb believed his own report. By God's grace, so do I. I believe these things that I preach. Not as I should, not as I ought, but I do believe them. Lord, help thou my unbelief, but I believe them. Now look at verse 13 again with me. The Lord fulfills His promise to Caleb. God always fulfills His promises. Why? You know. Because He's faithful that promised. Verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now in the history of Israel, Hebron was a very important place. It became a city of refuge, one of the cities of refuge. It was the home of the priest of God. It later became the royal city of King David. Hebron was the city of Judah, picturing that resting place of spirits of just men made perfect. What a picture Hebron is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebron was Caleb's inheritance, meaning that Christ was Caleb's inheritance. Christ is our inheritance, dear friend. Hebron's a city of refuge. Christ is our refuge. Hebron is a habitation of priests. The priesthood of the church resides in Christ. Being a royal priesthood, we dwell in the city of the King. We reside in Christ. in Zion, the city of our God. Jesus Christ is the believer's inheritance, just as it was Caleb's. Well, next study, we'll see that the giants, the sons of Anak, that brought such fear to Israel, but not to Joshua and Caleb. The sons of Anak were ferocious and terrible. They were men of war. 85-year-old Caleb, he said from the very beginning, "The Lord is with us. Fear them not." They were the temporary residents of Hebron, but it belonged to Caleb. God had kept Caleb strong to drive out the sons of Anak. Hebron had belonged to Caleb before the foundation of the world. The sons of Anak were there in the purpose of God. To do what? To build the cities. To erect the houses, to dig the wells, to plant the vineyards. And they did so for Caleb and his family to later possess. Isn't it amazing how the Lord does things? The house that Teresa and I live in, we bought from the Methodist Church. I told you that. And around 1996, the Methodist Church, the state association, the higher-ups in the organization built an addition onto the house for the pastor at that time to have a study, an additional bedroom, full bathroom, and a half bath. And around the same time that addition was completed, the higher-ups in the Methodist Church decided that no pastor was to work from home. And that addition pretty well was unused until Teresa and I moved into that house 20 years later. Now, am I patting myself on the back and saying that I'm something special because of that? No, I'm not. But I am telling you that my Lord is. He's something special. That was my study 20 years before it ever became mine. May God be pleased to give us the faith of Caleb, the faithful dog that he was. In God's kingdom, there's no big dogs. There's no little dogs. There are no doctor dogs. There are no reverend dogs, as Tim James said. All are just dogs seeking the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Just dogs worshiping at Christ's feet, kissing them with adoration and worship, trusting their master to do everything that he's promised. We have a little dog at home that will lick you senseless, and it gets on your nerves. We're constantly telling her to stop. If someone could eavesdrop in on Teresa and I's conversations at night sometimes, it would be, "Stop licking. Stop licking." We say that a lot. We're talking to the dog. It gets on your last nerve. But you know, licking with a dog is a sign of affection. And the Lord never forbids it. Matter of fact, he loves it. I'm glad to be such a dog. Like Mephibosheth, we bow ourselves and say, "Why, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" We're nothing but dogs, but we're God's dogs. Made faithful by Christ, to Christ, and in Christ. May God be pleased to make it so for his glory, our good, and for Christ's sake.